Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
But Choppy has been working on a little homework assignment to not pay Tank Lawrence his extension.
All right, so if you look at Tank Lawrence and where you want to go with paying him or not paying him, there's a couple of things that we can go and do here. Well, one of the issues with Tank is the fact that his salary, okay, compared to everybody else's on the defense is going to be much, much higher. His market value is going to be right around $19.7 million. That's market value. They don't have to pay 19.7, but that's what Spotrac or Spotrac, however you want to call it, that's what the number that they used. So 19.7 million. That would equate to the highest salary on this football team. There's a secret formula. I don't want to call it a secret formula, but there's a formula out there that teams use, winning teams use, in terms of what they're going to pay the top 10 salaried players per year on their team.
Okay.
If the top 10 salaried players are between 52 and 59% of your cap, all right, 52 to 59%, you have a winning record that year, historically, on average. If they're above 60% of your cap, you're going to win five games. Five games. If the Cowboys were to sign Tank to $19.7 million, that's before they've signed Earl, before they've signed any other player this offseason, before they've given Dak Prescott his extension, the Cowboys will be at 59.15% of their cap. If they were to sign Earl Thomas to $9 million, they'd be over the 60%. If they were to sign someone to anything more than Sean Lee's deal, they would go over the 60%.
And they're going to sign Byron. They're probably going to sign Amari.
They're probably going to sign Byron or Amari. Maybe Dak gets an extension. Who knows? It's going to put them in a very tough position. Right now, they would be, if they were to just sign Tank and nobody else, at 59%, that's a great spot to be in. You're on the slippery slope, though. You have very, very little wiggle room to work with. Obviously, you don't want to be super low in the top 10. Unless you're the Patriots. They're the only team that could be 40% and still win. If you're below 50%, you've got no chance of winning. If you're above 60, you've got no chance of winning. You want to be between 52 and 59%. And that's where this comes in.
And this study,
this is from every team since 2011.
Okay.
Every single team since 2011 has been in this.
What are those teams doing with the rest of their money? Like, why is this why is this formula working?
Well, the formula is working because you have depth, okay? The rest of the money, if you have 52% of your salary, so here's for example. Teams that have between 13, nobody has won 16 games in this time frame from 2011 on. 16 teams have won 13, 14, or 15. The percentage of their cap occupied by the top 10 is 52.5. At 12 wins, 50. At 11, 50. At 10, 52. At 9, 49. Okay, and it keeps going down and down and down and down and down. If you see, nobody's above the 60% since 2011 who has had double-digit wins. You become too
reliant
on your top 10 players, A, being great, B, playing great,
playing healthy,
and C, staying and playing healthy. And that is where the Falcons are in this. The Packers are in this.
You mean on the wrong side?
On the wrong side. Because they spend so much money on a couple of guys that the rest of their roster stinks. And if you look at the Patriots, again, you can't use the Patriots because they are 100% the outlier in this. They don't pay Brady. They don't pay anybody. They have depth everywhere. The reason that you don't want to pay Tank this $19.7 million is because if you do pay him that, it takes away from the rest of the roster. You would be better off signing four quality defensive players at $5 million a year than one great at 19. Because somebody's going to get hurt somewhere.
Right.
I'd rather have a backup corner, a backup linebacker, a backup defensive end, and a backup safety than a great edge rusher. Like, that's where the money comes into play. And if you do, let's just say that you do say, all right, you know what? I don't want to go this route, but I'll go the Earl route. Well, okay. Of the teams that made the postseason, the top five spending safety teams all made the playoffs last year.
All right, say that again. Of the teams that made the postseason, the top five spending on safety?
All made it.
Okay.
But
you know that these...
It's random.
Yeah. I could talk about
pick a different year.
The long snapper, you know, maybe the top five long snappers made it.
Right.
That doesn't mean you make your safety one of the top five paid and you're going to make the playoffs.
That's very true.
But basically what that says is maybe the position isn't being devalued as much as we thought.
Maybe it isn't. Maybe we're overvaluing defensive end as well. Of the teams that spent the most money at defensive end this year, 9 of the top 13 missed the postseason.
Now, this is just this year.
Yeah, I used last year's numbers off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a one-year study.
Again, that is. But the other one's about the cap percentages. You know, we're talking almost a decade.
Yeah. Which, that's making me think. Yeah. It's definitely making me think.
So, again, the problem areas with cap percentages are super low deals and under 50%, and then the high deals over 60. If you were to tell me that signing Tank to $19.7 million, and again, if he signs for 17, you know, that kind of changes things, because now we're not considerably under, but you know, we're fairly under the 60% mark. But signing him for almost $20 million and then still having the money and the want to go on out and get Earl Thomas, to go on out and get another wide receiver that's going to make more than $6.5 million next year, who's going to or re-up Byron, that's going to put the Cowboys in a spot where they have virtually no depth. And that's going to be tough to deal with.
What do you think, Roy? Is this making you change your mind? It's making me hesitate a little bit, because I've been all in on paying Tank.
Yeah, I'm still in the camp of wanting to pay him. It's not changing my mind all that much. I mean, I get, you know, if you go a little bit over the precipice, like of 60%, I don't know. That's not changing my mind. I just know the players that I want this team to have are the players that I want this team to have.
Right.
And Tank's one of them. So, you know, if in an ideal world, I would have been fine giving him the big contract a year ago. You'd already be a year into it. You would have gotten your money's worth, at least for a season, and now we'd be looking forward, and we probably would have paid him less than what we're ultimately going to have to pay him. So from that standpoint, but if his contract pushes them, say, to 63% or whatever it is, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, because the top 10 players for the Cowboys are getting paid, you know, 63% as opposed to 59% of the cap.
Yeah. I'm in on that as well. I appreciate the study and the homework.
Yeah, very good. I mean, it's very insightful, and I'll keep an eye on that going forward. You know, you pointed it out that it has kind of worked out that way over the last 10 years, but I wonder if it has the staying power.
Well, I mean, think of it this way, because, you know, if they're going to pay Dak, this is going to become more magnified in 2 years.
Yeah.
You know? Tank's going to be making 20. Dak's going to be making 25.
Cooper's going to be making...
He's going to be making 14.
Oh,
more than that.
Yeah,
making 14 now.
We're going to be making...
Byron.
18.
Yeah. So we're going to have five players accounting for almost $100 million. The cap's 200. Now, in two years, it'll be 215.
And the line is paid.
And the line's already paid. So, like...
May have to pay Jalen.
This is going to be... When they pay Dak...
It's perfect for DFW. It's very top-heavy, you know?
Right, it is.
That's a compliment
I like what you did there.
The ladies out there.
I like what you did there.
Yeah.
I see it.
Very top-heavy, you know? We have depth right now in the secondary.
We do, because they're young.
Like, we have depth at corner, I should say, not safety. We have depth at corner because they're young.
Say, that might be the only place, though, where you look around the entire roster and say, yeah, we're deep there.
Yeah, I'd say D-line, you have a rotation.
But you're not deep. Like, you're not just loaded, you know. You have bodies that you can circle through four at a time.
All right, so does that change your mind on signing Tank? I still want to sign him. Choppy, Roy, still in. Now, You good?
Yeah. That's good.
All right. Lincoln Riley gave a very interesting answer to I put this on the cut sheet, Troy. What is it? Sirius? Sirius Radio, when asked what he tells scouts when they ask about Kyler Murray's lack of size.
Oh, I think it's just talking about, you know, how we used him and how between Evan Baker and Kyler here, a scenario where we said, well, we're not going to run this play or not going to run that play or not going to protect this or like this or that because these guys are 5'10 and 6 foot instead of 6'4. I mean, it's just never coming to the equation with us. And, you know, we do quite a bit with those guys. And so I think Kyler's like Baker in that he is short. He's been short all of his life. He's learned to deal with it. It's not a factor for him. You know, we had an NFL-size offensive line, played against a lot of really, really good defensive lines. I mean, the guy, I think, had 4 or 5 batted-down passes, I think, the whole season. I mean, he's not – it's just not much of a factor as much as people would think it is. And we got to live that for really the last 4 years, playing with what guys would consider short, you know, prototypical quarterbacks. And it was never an issue for us, and I think it's something that'll get made a lot of at draft time, and I think once, you know, Kyler starts playing just like Baker, I don't think it'll be a factor at all.
Very interesting. So now everyone is all in on Kyler. There is no height in the National Football League that is too short to play quarterback, apparently. I'm out. I think I'm the only one I've heard that's out. But everyone is being Kyler Murray truthers. And I have to admit, some of the info is very interesting. Last year, do you know who led the league in balls batted down from quarterbacks? What quarterback had the most balls batted down?
I was going to say, I couldn't remember who. I think, did Jeff do this study the other day?
I didn't hear it.
Gil Brandt tweeted something about Russell Wilson not having been in the top 10 in any of the seasons he's been in the league.
Gil Brandt tweeted, it was never a problem at Oklahoma where the average size of the 5 starters was 6'5". 316. He found throwing lanes with pocket movement. Also had a sixth sense with blindside pressure. He'll be just fine. Kirk Cousins had the most passes batted down. Kirk Cousins is 6'3". The year before that, it was Blake Bortles at 6'5".
He's big. Blake was the prototype.
And the year before that was Matt Stafford at 6'3". Last year in college, Kyler Murray only had 5 passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. 5. That tied for the fewest among quarterbacks who are likely first-round picks coming out. What Kavanaugh said the other day that I did hear, he goes, if I have any NFL mission in life, anyone, it's to prove and just know from me that short quarterbacks don't get balls batted down and smaller players aren't more susceptible to get injured. That was his mission statement that he wanted every fan when he dies to know that he taught them. Now, That still, in my opinion, does not mean that if Kyler Murray measures in a 5'8", I'm going to win this argument. I'm just convinced of it.
Win the argument of the pick with Roy?
Of him not playing quarterback, of him not succeeding at quarterback. I never watched Oklahoma play and thought, I never watched him play and said, this is next level guy. He's got next level athleticism. He's a runt.
He's very small.
He's too much of a pipsqueak.
Pygmy.
He just is. And I know we all love the fun video game player and all that. Look, I can't look at the college quarterbacks and tell you who's going to be a baller, but I have a gift for naming the guys who can't play. Like, I knew Manziel was going to be a bust. I said it. I don't know. It's all hate. Like, I'm a college hater in terms of the quarterbacks. I can't name the success, but I can name who's not, and I can't see Kyler Murray running around.
You're the college football blacklight.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Nothing positive to it. You just exposing the blacklight. We're going to have to do an intro for that, just finding the negatives. I hate that, but like, maybe it's easier, but yeah. I'm looking forward to winning this against all of our expert scouts. Everyone's all in, though, on Kyler Murray now. Everyone's in. Now, and I know your big question is the hand size.
My question is the hand size. Like, I don't care so much about the height or the weight. I do. If the guy's got tiny hands, he can't grab a football. That's going to get knocked away quite easily. And especially if it's wet, all that stuff. I do wonder, though, like, what do we consider, and I hate to be semantics, what do we consider a hit? like in terms of if he's a good player or not. Like, because in the NFL, like Sam Bradford was a successful quarterback. He stayed in the league for a decade. Jay Cutler was a success at the quarterback position. Like, he was a hit of a draft pick.
Sam Bradford was not a success for the number one pick.
I mean, he was
He wasn't.
He was borderline.
He just wasn't.
He was borderline hit. I mean, he was a 10-year player.
He wasn't. He was not a successful quarterback ever.
But
he was an injury prone guy. Never successful. Never great.
But if you were to look at what defines,
you wanted to tell me he's a 4th-round pick. Okay.
I know. What I'm saying is, like, if you were to look at what defines like a hit at the position.
Yeah,
the pick,
subjective.
It's subjective, and I would say playing for 10 years is a hit.
Okay, and I would say no way. He was not a successful pick at one. To me, Sam Bradford. No one else would agree Sam Bradford had a very successful
absolutely
NFL.
He did not
have for longevity.
He made a lot of money.
But he never balled out at any point in time.
He was the rookie of the year. That was his best thing.
Yeah.
You know, and but again, I mean, like, I think if you were to look at some of these.
Kyler Murray won't last that long either. Like, Lamar Jackson's not going to last. That's another one. Everyone fell in love with Lamar. Lamar Jackson can't throw. He's going to get hurt too. So I know we love the new cool toy.
What's a cool toy?
But I'm here with the black light.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.